Army News, today's music, this is Garrison FM. I'm Chris Kay and I'm joined by Catterick Garrison Commander Colonel Nick Millen. First visit of 2013, so first of all, Happy New Year.
Chris, good morning and Happy New Year to you.
And you were honoured in the Queen's New Year's Honours List and given an OBE, so congratulations first of all on that as well.
Chris, thank you. Yes, I was delighted, as you might imagine, to be appointed OBE. And the first thing I would like to say is that it is as a consequence of my being supported by wonderful family, friends and colleagues at work here and in the wider community where I work as well. So whilst I'm thrilled to bits, and thank you very much indeed for that, and I wear it with great pride, I'm conscious of the fact that it comes with huge contribution and effort from other people as well.
So how do you find out about something like that?
You get a little wink just before the honours list is published.
So I think now would be a good time to kind of reflect on your time as Garrison Commander. So let's just look back on your time. How have things changed here?
Well, Chris, I think the first thing to say is, I've been Garrison Commander here for an extraordinarily long time for a host of reasons. And therefore, I've had a longer go at it. Therefore, hopefully, I can achieve more. but what has changed? Well, I would put my emphasis on two things. First of all, within the garrison, we have seen the life conditions, living conditions for our single soldiers particularly, improved beyond measure in terms of the single living accommodation modernisation programme, SLAM, that you've heard us talk about a lot, which has taken people from living in blocks that were built in the 1950s and haven't had much done to them since then, to world-class single accommodation. And that's been done across the rank structure, and quite rightly with the emphasis on the junior ranks. However, I'm very, very aware that there are an awful lot of people in this garrison still, for example, down in SOM barracks, where there has been no development of the SLAM, and that the subsequent phases are probably less likely to occur than they might have been earlier, and that therefore, albeit we have achieved a lot, there are some people who will be listening to this who will be thinking, well, not much has been done for me, and they're right. But nonetheless, a huge amount has been achieved. So that's one thing. And on the edges of that, I should add as well that the technical accommodation in terms of the workspace has been improved in good areas as well. So that's the first thing. The second thing is the extent to which the garrison has established its place in the community in a way that I think is better for all of us. And as I look back over the last number of years, I think I can see what has come from some of the early development work that we did here in the garrison, particularly with Richmondshire District Council, but with others as well, and how that has gone forward subsequently with the introduction of the Armed Forces Covenant from the government. And now we have a situation whereby everybody, whether it's on the military side of the fence or the wider community side of the fence, has a complete and utter respect for each other, understands the contribution that each makes to the other, and as a consequence, we're going forward in a much, much, I think, more robust and coherent way. And I think it sets us very well for the future with the changes that will come, again, with the 2020 basing plot, although we don't know the detail of that yet. But I'm confident that we will be wholly supported from the local community in terms of what it is that we're doing. And I'm confident that we will continue to be a very, very significant part of that community, particularly in terms of economic input.
Now, talk to me about the last 12 months and kind of the highlights and reflections of 2012.
Clearly, the first thing that comes to mind is the deployment of 4 Brigade to Afghanistan and all the work that they did leading up to that in terms of preparation, training, whether it was in Canada, Kenya, locally, or down in Salisbury Plain. Huge effort put in by the soldiers there, and therefore a corresponding need for the families to come together and just to get on with it. Followed by the deployment to Afghanistan, if you recall, they went out in sort of late September, October time. And so now we're over the hump, over Christmas, and they'll be back in the spring, so that's great. So that's the most significant event militarily that the garrison has been involved in. But if we start coming back more to that which I'm involved with as the garrison commander, the sort of infrastructure side of it, the completion of the work in Gaza barracks is probably the most significant thing that has happened in the last year, where there has been a big SLAM block opened in which 3 and 5 medical regiments and 204 signal squadron particularly are living. And that has brought together into Gaza barracks a very, very significant development as a whole, new technical accommodation, new living accommodation. So Gaza is now world class. And in addition to that, the opening of the interim personnel recovery and assessment center up in Combray barracks, which was a project funded by Help for Heroes in terms of capital work and where the revenue funding has been taken forward by a contribution from the Royal British Legion as well. And that shows where we have been able to take a building that was previously used for something else that had gone into a state where we weren't using it. Money was put in, and we've now got a very, very capable facility there where the personnel recovery unit for the northeast of England, which belongs to 15 Brigade, sits, and the personnel recovery and assessment centre is operating. And a number of soldiers have been significantly helped, and families consequentially as well, because of the work that's going on there. And of course, that will go across looking forward, because I know the thing you're going to ask next is, and what about next year or this year?
Yes.
Well, that will be the opening in Gaza barracks of the bespoke built, the purpose-built personnel recovery and assessment centre, which those of you who drive up and down the hill, as I know you do, you'll see it is coming on leaps and bounds. And we're looking sort of second quarter, that sort of time, early summer is the time that I hope that we will get that done. And I think when that has happened, we will have here in the northeast of England a very, very swept up way of looking after the wounded, the injured and the sick.
So let's talk then about this year and highlights and some of the things that we can look forward to. Of course, you mentioned the return of 4 Brigade.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's got to be the big event from a people point of view. You know, 4 Brigade are coming home, yippee.
Yep.
and I think significantly too, it's, you know, it's their last tour of duty in Afghanistan as well. So what will then happen is that they will then start focusing on the necessary structural changes that will happen as the 2020 AUBAP comes out. And they can all start looking to what it is that they're going to do next, and in military terms, return to contingency. And that will involve some people re-rolling, therefore an awful lot of individual training and the like. So that will keep the people very busy, or most of the people from 4 Brigade, and an awful lot of the other people, of course, will be getting on and doing what they're doing in any case, again, affected by the 2020 AUBAP as well. We've already touched on the PREC opening in Gaza barracks, and I think that is significant. And then in terms of what is going to happen during the year, probably the most important piece of news will be what is the 2020 laydown? What is going to happen here in Catterick when the laydown of the forces is published? Now, I don't know the answer to that yet, but what I'm absolutely sure is that Catterick is going to remain a very significant part of where that laydown will happen. It's well placed and it has got capacity to take more people than it has at the moment. But I should stress that that capacity, in order to be realised, involves a lot of gold bars in order to deliver it. And therefore, how it is that that's going to happen, I genuinely don't know. But it will be a significant piece of work for us to take forward. And I think importantly, too, it will require a significant level of understanding locally to make certain that the potential that this will provide is properly understood, and that we don't get misinformation causing concern that doesn't need to be there in terms of what the military's footprint will be.
Colonel Nick, well, listen, thank you very much for coming. Good to see you again, and we'll speak to you next month.
Chris, thank you.